So welcome to each one of you. This is the next of many information meetings that we've held over the last, which I was going to say a year and a half, but it's nearly running onto 2 years now. So welcome everybody for being here. We are joined by a group of very special people as well, who we refer to as panelists or watchers. They're a group of people who are very experienced with working with Soma and Sacred Mushrooms. And they'll briefly introduce themselves to you as well shortly. And then this evening, we'd like to hear from you. We'd like this to be a two-way discussion. This is an informal conversation about us sharing information about Soma and Sacred Mushrooms and how we work. And you're welcome to ask questions around that. There's some of you here that we've seen before. Welcome back. There's some we've already communicated before. Welcome. And there's some that maybe have arrived completely at short notice and without much information about how we work. But there's so much information out there on the net and how people work with mushrooms and with Soma. And you're welcome to ask questions based on that as well. So we're going to try and keep this interactive as much as what we can and kind of take it from there. My name is Anton. I've been in contact with most of you already as far as the admin and the record keeping of Soma retreats and these information meetings, as far as that's concerned. And it's really good to see all of you here. And we look forward to getting to know and learning more from you, and also sharing the knowledge that we have with you. I'm going to hand over to Rodianne and give each of our watchers and panelists an opportunity to introduce themselves and say hi.
Good evening, everybody. As Anton mentioned, I'm Rodianne. We're about an hour out of Cape Town in a little town called Houdini. Very happy to be here and to be of assistance in any way possible and answer any questions any of you have. I'm sure, as Anton mentioned, we'll explain what we do as the evening progresses.
Yeah, thank you, Rodi. On my left, Margie. Good evening, Margie.
Hi, I'm Margie. I'm based in Cape Town. I'm a journeyer and a watcher journeyer, and I'm really enjoying the journey. And it's nice to see everybody here tonight.
Thank you, Margie. Good to see you. And love the quiver trees in the background as well. We were talking about it before. Such a special part of the country. On my right, Bianca. Bianca, good evening. How are you?
Yes, good evening. Hi. Nice to see familiar faces. Nice to see new faces. My name is Bianca. I'm based in Grotto Bay. And it's always nice to be part of these evenings and of the journeys. So I'm looking forward to what's coming out tonight, and let's keep it interactive. So thank you.
Thank you, Bianca. Looking forward to hearing from you as we go on. Roger, good evening, Roger.
Evening, everybody. My name's Roger. I'm up here in Mokopane, Limpopo. I've worked with Soma for about 6 years. A large part of that has been as a watcher. I'm looking forward to tonight's discussion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Roger. And lastly, Monica, most importantly, but thank you for bringing us together. Monica, good evening.
Hi, Anton. On my side, the voices are a bit soft. Can everybody hear okay? Or is it me? You all can hear. Okay, I've turned my volume up to maximum, but I can just hear you. I just have to stretch my ears a bit. I'm sitting here in my office here in Somerset West and looking forward to chatting with you and hearing what your questions are. Some of you, I think, have sent questions already. Anton did let us know about those, but please raise them. And we'd like this to be, as Anton said, a two-way conversation. We don't really like giving lectures here. We can certainly do that, but we prefer to actually connect with you and answer your questions.
Thank you, Monica.
Oh, and I've been involved with mushrooms for many, many, many years.
Monica is the most experienced of us all here. And we've been working with her and as watchers, and that's where we've learned how we work in this way. Thank you, Monica. I've turned up the volume a little bit on my mic, so I'm hoping you can hear me a bit better. Suzanka, you have mentioned in the text about visuals. We have five or six people that do have their video off, if that's the question that you're asking, but otherwise we can see you. And or maybe it's a point in the top right of your screen where it says view. If you click on view, there's a couple of options there. You could possibly see speaker view, gallery, or an immersive view. It may be some of your settings up on the top right-hand side of the screen. All right, I hope that helps. I see a little smile on your face, so I'm hoping we're sorted there, yay. So as far as things from your side, guys, please pop up, stick your hand up, either physically, you're welcome to do that as well. That's good feedback, and or give us some reactions. If you want to speak, clicking on reactions and putting your hand up and stepping in to ask a question and or comment from your own experience, please do so. We'd very much like to hear from you. You have had an opportunity to share some questions and comments. We have a knowledge and understanding that we'd get to most of those as this time is complete. But I'm not necessarily specifically going to touch on them to start off with. Who here, as a start point, and we've got about 50% of active screen, who here has knowledge of Soma and mushrooms and has worked with them in the past? Could you give me a little wave so that we kind of have an idea of Yannis? You do. The others on the screen, are you mostly first time coming from that point of view? Gabby and Nick, hi. So nice to see you both together. Also just a little bit, thank you. So maybe as a starting point, just to get the ball rolling, to give some context to what we're talking about here from our point of view, let's give you an overview of what a Soma retreat or a Soma experience is about, and where our starting point is in how we work with mushrooms and how we've learned to work with mushrooms through attending group gatherings in a physical space with Monica in Somerset West. And that started just over 12 years ago now already, and has gone on and grown to where we now today, as a result of lockdown, do not have physical gatherings. It has become a process of having a Soma at home event where, in the similar kind of way, we are assisting people to connect via groups, albeit in this instance digitally, so that they can work and connect with sacred mushrooms and with Soma in this way. The physical gatherings are likely to start up and or be joining us in the Soma at home environment as they do. But ultimately, a Soma event is a group experience where we open the door for us to be guided by Soma and sacred mushrooms to connect in a collective kind of way, so that we can be guided by and connect with a higher force. And that higher force is the force that's within us all, and however we perceive and experience that to be. Yannis, I see a hand movement. I don't know if I've just caught it out the corner of my eye. If you'd like to add and comment, please. There we go. It was just a hand movement. So if I could very briefly, just to get that ball rolling and give that context, to the meeting, hand over to the watchers each briefly, and without saying and giving an overview of exactly what a Soma retreat is in the sense of step by step, I'm trying to rephrase this or phrase this question correctly, what is a Soma retreat, and what is the purpose of a Soma retreat? Let's start with that. Brodie-Anne, I'm going to pick on you right next to me. What for you is the purpose of a Soma retreat, in a shorter context as possible?
For me, the purpose of a Soma retreat is to connect to the divine or to connect to a higher force and to find a way within myself to face the unexpected and to you know, over time I've learned that you can't really have an expectation or an idea or have an agenda of what you're going to fix. You just go to arrive, and Soma knows you better than anybody, and it'll assist you to work on what you need to work on. So if you really want to ask what my idea of a Soma retreat is, that is it. But I think that's not going to answer a lot of people's questions. I'm not too sure. You know, that is my take on it. That's what I go to a Soma retreat for. And also for me, it's not a quick fix. For me, a Soma retreat is something, and this is a personal thing. I mean, I've heard of people who have overnight changes. For me, it's been a, wow, look how things have changed in the last few years, or look how things have changed in the last few months, looking back on my life. So for me, that's been my personal experience with the Soma retreat.
Thank you, Rania. Monica.
I'll just make a comment about my thoughts about Soma, working with Soma. It's very different each time. If it's a first time, that is totally different to all the other times that you may work with Soma again in the future. The first time is quite scary. It's a very foreign experience. You don't know what to expect, and we will tell you don't expect anything, but that's quite hard the first time because your expectations are what probably brought you to the journey in the first place. But we do need to, we do ourselves a big favor if we can just let go of all personal expectations we have, so that there is an open door, as it were, for the messages that can come from Soma without any obstacles or blocks from your own expectations. And for those who choose to go on working fairly regularly with Soma, that becomes easier to do. That doesn't mean that any anxiety disappears, because every single journey is totally different. You're never going to repeat an experience. So that I'm always a bit anxious before every single Soma journey, because I don't know what to expect, and I've learned not to have any expectations, because I don't want to spoil what is there for me by intruding with my own ideas.
Thank you, Monica. We've got one or two late arrivals coming in, so I'm going to let them slip in, and we can continue as we go. And I have been in communication with them as well. Regarding those expectations, Margie, Bianca, Roger, maybe we can cover that a little bit more. The expectations of what one would have in a Soma retreat, the expectations of what we may set for ourselves as far as healing and dealing with issues that we'd like resolving in our lives. Would you guys like to share some thoughts from your experiences or regarding those expectations and how we should view it? Roger, shall we start with you?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to answer it in two parts. Firstly, I'm going to say to you that the Soma experience is an opportunity to explore your own spirituality, to explore your inner consciousness, and to explore the mysticisms of our existence. That's the one part. The other part is by doing that, by exploring your spirituality, by journeying, by going into the mysticism and exploring your own consciousness, often there are amazing insights, personal insights, and a lot of therapeutic value. But having said that, we don't use it as a therapeutic medicine. We don't proffer that it can heal your anxiety, or it can heal your depression, or that sort of thing. The fact that it does is wonderful, but we don't treat any symptom in the Soma retreat. Those benefits come through the insights that you get through journeying, and through what you do with those insights moving forward in your life. So I'm going to leave it at that point.
Thank you, Roger. Margie and Bianca. Margie, let's put that ball to you and see what you can add to it.
Yeah, the thing about expectations, it's quite hard to learn to let go or not to have expectations. My expectations now is I expect to see my light reflections dance on my roof, on my ceiling. That, and it's pretty consistent that it will do that. But beyond that, there are, yeah, I'm really learning that you really have to try and let those expectations, leave them outside when you come to it, and really just try and let yourself go into it. And for me, Soma retreat is about going. I've had incredibly good journeys. So for me, it's a place of comfort. It's a place of healing. It's a place of finding myself as well in during that period and what I feel afterwards. So that's briefly what I want to say.
And Bianca, some thoughts from you.
Yeah, so for me, it's not to have the expectation. For me, really what it is for me, a journey is more about having the trust to be open, to trust enough to be open and receive what I get. That's for me what a Soma retreat is all about. And by having the trust, I don't have the expectation. So that's how it is for me. So thank you.
Thanks, Bianca. That reminder, Monica.
Sorry, I don't interrupt you, Anton. Or shall I talk?
Yeah. Go ahead, Monica. Thank you.
I was now thinking while we were talking about expectations about what it felt for me when I had my first experience with mushrooms. And those of you who are here, who'll be having your first experience at some stage. And there's this, for me, there was this big question in my mind, what's going to happen? I had never had any drugs or alcohol or anything. So my mind had more or less always been my own. And I couldn't imagine what was going to happen. So I want to tell you more or less what will certainly happen, although in a variety of ways. When you will receive, take your mushrooms, ground mushrooms, with a mixture of either tea or fruit juice, whichever it is that you're going to do. And the surprising thing is, that, in fact, it almost gave me a fright, is that your mind goes into another dimension. And that is where you can start backing off and getting a fright. And the important thing then is just to surrender into that experience that is totally new for you and might, in fact, be quite scary. But what you can know for sure is that mushrooms will never hurt you. And it's merely a new experience that has given you that sense of shock, that there's another dimension operating in your head all of a sudden. And just close your eyes and go into that dimension deeper and deeper and deeper. It's strange and new, but you'll take to it within 15 minutes. You'll know what to do and you just fly with it. And in fact, what we say is just go into free fall and allow yourself to go with it. Remembering that thousands and thousands, millions of people in the past have been through something similar, and they have all survived. It's just a new experience.
Thank you, Monica. It creates a doorway to a conversation I want to talk about or information that I'd like to share in a way that's open to everybody in how we're able to do that in our own space, and how these SOMA at Home events have evolved from the gatherings in Somerset West with you, but where we now have an environment where we can take those experiences and step into that realm in groups of our own. And that's very much what we've learned over the last 18 months, nearly 2 years. Well, maybe I'm rushing ahead with time a little bit in the last 18 months since lockdown. And we'll talk about that a little bit more, about how this space that's created in this group environment with a retreat and a gathering that we've learned so much about in Somerset West and elsewhere, we've taken that around the country, how we're now realizing that enabling people like you by sharing our information and assisting with preparations, that you can gather in groups of your own, either with people that have experience and knowledge about how to work with SOMA and sacred mushrooms from their own experiences, or in circumstances where we have husbands and wives, or having a friend presence. We'll share a little bit more about that shortly. But I'd very much like to turn the conversation to you that are listening. Based on what you've heard so far, any thoughts, any comments, any questions that you'd like to verbally share, or even in the text box. If you don't want to speak voice, please comment or ask a question via text, and we'll respond and build it in accordingly. Suzanka, am I pronouncing your name correctly? Yes, hi, I've unmuted you. Please go ahead. Oh, hang on. You may have to do it from your side. And she's frozen.
Suzanka, can you click on the little microphone in the bottom left of your screen so that we can hear you?
Her screen is frozen for a moment as well.
Okay.
While we wait for Suzanka's connection to restore itself, is there anybody else? Nick and Debbie, let's start with you, Nick.
Deb's got a question.
So Nick and I have done one journey together, just the two of us, without a guide, and just been together. And I'm wondering what kind of different offering it would be having it in a retreat form virtually versus just us doing it together on our own.
I think I've got to clarify quickly before Monica wants to clarify and say we're not guides. I think I could start answering your question. And the first thing Monica would say and remind is that us as SOMA watchers are not guides. In the way that we work in a physical retreat and environment, we're creating a space where you can make a direct connection with SOMA and a higher force. And in the way that we work, we very much step into the background. In a physical retreat, we wear dark clothes. We try and remove ourselves completely from the environment so that you can have an uninterfered experience. And for the rest of your question, Rodianne, Roger, any thoughts from your side?
Well, for me, the difference would be you have this wonderful support group which has actually started since we've been doing these at home experiences. So what happens is, instead of where you would originally just arrive for a ceremony that evening, obviously you would have had a lot of communication with Monica in the weeks, maybe months, even however long prior to the experience. However, this time, what has grown from the at-home experiences is that we actually have a network of a little WhatsApp group that's created. Because we don't have the opportunity to sit and actually chat face-to-face, which we would have done in the ceremony space, we're actually using WhatsApp as a tool for us to actually get to know each other through that. And in that way, we're building this connection. And through that, you're finding that there's nerves and there's butterflies and there's questions and there's all these things that a whole lot of other journeys are experiencing that week prior to the ceremony too. And now instead of having all these feelings on your own at home in the build-up and then having to hope that either Anton or Monica answers your email timeously so that you can sort your mind out, we've actually got this wonderful support system that's helping you prepare your space, helping you prepare you. And you know what the wonderful thing is? It's not actually always just the watchers that are giving the best advice. It's actually fellow journeyers, because the connection of people to people and realizing that the same people are going through the same thing is almost more powerful than someone like me saying, oh, don't worry, you'll be okay. When you have someone who's there with you that's saying, you know, I'm feeling this way, and you almost have courage together. I don't know how to explain it. And it's this wonderful thing that's coming from this Soma at home experience. So for me, it sounds really odd that we do it at home and we have the same experience, but it's almost amplified because you know, wow, there's a lot of other people doing it the same night I am. That's my take on it. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to have a lot to add to it.
Debbie, did you have a particular concern so that we can maybe be specific to something that's on your mind?
I'm a little bit unsure as to how it would work, having, I suppose, like the logistics of it, because Nick and I, when we do it, we're kind of lying down, eyes closed. And then so how does it work? I just don't understand quite how it works, having a group and watches. Does that make it clearer?
I'm going to hand to Roger soon, Debbie. It's one of the difficulties we've had with the summer at home experience. I'll be quite straight up. When we started them, we referred to them as an online summer retreat, and that just complicated the whole view of this big brother. We've got a Zoom camera on the whole time. No, we don't. It is an event where we're assisting you and all the people that are with you for this experience as companions. We're assisting you to prepare. We're assisting you to connect with a group in preparation, a group of experienced watchers, but also a group from all around the world who'll be working with mushrooms and connecting with Soma on the same night. And that preparation is taken very seriously in from an emotional point of view, from a mental point of view, but also from a physical space. And then on the night of the events, we're connecting like this beforehand, but once that Zoom meeting is finished and we move into our own space to take the sacrament, you're disconnected from Zoom and technology as much as what you want to be. The team of watchers that are working on the event and available for the night will be available in a support line kind of environment throughout the night until the morning. And that can be via text, that can be via telephone. We even have an anchor room or a Zoom room running similar to this, where there are experienced watches available if you want to connect with us or view the video of the fire. We often have a video of the fire so that you can just simply be connected digitally. But if you don't want to be, and typically people have a companion with them, a husband and wife who are one watching over the other or a friend or something like that, we're simply suggesting stay in contact with the group via WhatsApp to say, well, this person is okay. Maybe an hour later, they're not okay. What can I do? They're feeling nauseous. What suggestions do you have? It's very much a support structure. Mm-hmm. And then that support structure remains in place. Mm-hmm. Sunday morning, it's there for the group to connect with each other and share the experiences and share insights. And then it remains in place for the days and weeks that follow. Mm-hmm. And maybe the first week, after an event, that communication can be as people find themselves kind of moving into their real world more active, but it becomes quieter as the second and the third week pass. And then there's a cycle where there's an availability for new experiences. I hope that covers partly, and maybe Roger can fill in any gaps that he had that came to mind.
Yeah. I think for me, you know, the let's call it the Soma way. There's an ethos that underpins the Soma way. We treat the whole process seriously and with the reverence that it deserves. During the week, building up to the evening, we help you prepare yourself and prepare your space for the evening. We also try and create a loving and trusting environment in the virtual world. What we find is that during the week and during the evening and following on the Sunday morning's integration session, there's a synergy that develops amongst the participants and between the participants and the watchers. As a watcher, we take 1 gram of mushrooms while you would take 5 grams generally. And during the evening, we hold you close to our hearts. We journey in our own little small way on 1 gram, but embracing all the journeyers during the evening. And we're available during the evening should anybody get into a difficult situation or just need to talk. We are there. We are available. And the integration session on the Sunday morning is quite a thing to be part of, to hear what other people have experienced during the evening, and sometimes to see the interconnectivity that actually happened amongst the group during the evening.
Can I just add something to Roger's point? Is you can actually call us quite easily by sending up a little hand, like you see the hand in on Judith's block there. I'm not quite sure where you find it on the screen, but you can also just send up something to say, help, we want to talk. And someone will come back to you to speak to you. Sorry, Roger, I'm finished. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Monica. Thank you, Roger. I'd like to talk a little bit about those
difficulties. Hand is up.
Yes, I'm going to go to Judith shortly because I do want to talk about these difficulties.
Gladys. He's had his hand up for quite a long time.
Thank you, Monica.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I just I won't be long, but I mean, I've been hearing you all, and I'm just basically wondering. It's my question is maybe a bit stupid, but I would like to know why do you guys? I mean, are you going there in that space and that time? That often is that. Is that so magic? I mean, how do you get? I mean, I can figure doing it once, twice, but why? And you, Monica, for years, why that many? What does it brings into your life? If it brings anything, and probably it does because you're doing it so long time. And are there any downside effects? Like, I mean, on for instance, like. Going on the other side, you can maybe have some bad encounters. I mean, maybe some, I don't know what you're meeting over there that can be actually bad for you once back. And on a physical level of, I mean, is there any as well, any problem that may arise actually with time? That's basically my question. Thank you.
Those are good questions, Gladys. There's no end to how much we can learn. You know how you can go to school and study through adulthood, lifelong learning. And with mushrooms, we have lifelong learning also. And I just want to say the fact that I've been working with mushrooms doesn't mean I've been journeying over and over again. I usually don't journey more than once or twice a year. But I'm working with groups of people with mushrooms for years. I'm a watcher, in other words, or helping other watchers to be watchers. That's what I've been doing for all those years. I haven't been working with mushrooms week after week, every year, although I think it wouldn't do me any harm. There's no amount of learning. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you. I mean, yes, thank you.
Natas, you put such a beautiful question in place, because it's been asked from such a different point of view, or in a different manner, and it ties in a lot with there's a common thread. Claire has asked something similar about difficult experiences. Annalette has now asked something similar about difficult experiences of panic attacks and et cetera, et cetera. And I'd like to start that off by the reminder that, and Monica said, journeying with a docent that the way that we do, or that the way that she does, is once or twice a year. Journeying with mushrooms or going to Somaland is maybe another way of describing it, is an exploration into your own consciousness. It's not going somewhere else. It's not going to a place that exists somewhere else. It exists within you. So this is an exploration of your consciousness, which is ever expanding. And people work with mushrooms. Sometimes they go away from it even for a few years, and then they come back, and or even find other modalities to continue that exploration. This connection with the spirit of mushrooms is a connection with the world around us and connection with the universe around us. So you put it in such a beautiful way that you've allowed us to try and answer a question in a different way, which is how we learn, and which is how we learn as watchers, because we're learning about our own consciousness and the world around us. And the only way we get to do that in an infinitely expanding kind of way is to let the world in. And if we insist that we know all the answers and give a speech and repeat the same speech over and over, which is why I think we started this meeting beforehand. We said, well, we need to encourage the people who join this meeting to really ask questions and get this two-way conversation going. And it's done exactly that. And there's the other point of talking about of these difficult experiences. What are they about? Judith and Zuzanka, I know you've been waiting a while. I'm not quite sure which direction to go in. Let's go with Judith, and then with the watchers, maybe reminding that we've got some text questions regarding the difficult experiences, and how we deal with this and how we deal with that and what they are about. But let's hear from Judith first, and we'll try and fill in those questions about how we deal with that as well. Judith.
So maybe it is in a way related to those difficult questions in a different kind of coming at it from a different angle. So I joined, did my first journey earlier on this year at Monica's house. So it's lovely to see her again and to see you online, to see some of the people who were with us then. So this time I'm going to be doing it online and have the privilege of having Margie as a watcher with us, who will be online and in person, which will be really great. I did find it a bit scary, as Monica said, in the first time. And I kind of had this inclination to say, maybe I should take a smaller dose. And that is just something I wanted to, I kind of think, well, maybe I should take 3 grams and then maybe it won't be, it'll be a different kind of experience. So I just wanted to ask about that and the dosage and whether that is, does that kind of, what does that do to the experience? Does it make it less? Does it make it shorter? Is it unpredictable? Just some thoughts around that. Thanks.
And Tony, do you want to get a crack at it first?
You go, Roger. All good, thank you.
Judith, look, I mean, generally what we say is that for the first few times that you do a Soma journey, 5 grams is the recommended dose. After that, then yes, you can reduce it because you learn how to navigate and maximize it. But just also bear in mind that each journey is different. What you experience the first time is not what you're going to experience the second time. Each journey is different. And we never know ourselves what to expect. But what we do find is that soma, the spirit of the mushroom, tends to push the buttons that need to be pushed.
Judith, did you have a difficult experience with the 5 grams that you had?
No, Monica, it wasn't exactly difficult, but I was I was scared, and I felt like I did hold back quite a lot of the way, not wanting to let go completely. And I think that, some of the hallucinations were a little bit overwhelming for me at the time. And when I finished, I thought, no, I'm not going to do that again. And here I am. So it's a bit like that. And so I think, I'm going to do it again, but maybe not as much. And I don't know if that makes any sense.
But Judith, do you know how many times I've said, I'm never doing this again? I'm sure every watcher here will say it. Because it takes you on a journey that you, especially if you just let go and know that you'll be safe, but you just let yourself go and you can go through a wild country. And you don't need to make sense of it. You just need to watch and experience. And you'll always be perfectly safe and feel if it is gives you a rough time, it means that mushrooms are taking you seriously. And that's not comfortable. We don't do this to have fun. You can have mushrooms at a party if you want to, but we're not partying. We are offering an opportunity to have a serious experience with mushrooms. And I'm not using the words like healing from depression or insomnia or whatever that may be. Those are side effects. Not the actual reason that we're doing it. We want you to have an experience, first of all, with your higher self, or maybe even your lower self. And that can be not a very nice experience. But thank God for it, that you get a full-on view of something that you didn't really want to see. And if you surrender to that, you can go to another place next time. And yes, as Roger already said, after about 3 experiences with 5 grams, you can go to lower amounts. And I've said this many times, that the most intense experience I've ever had was with 2 grams. I will never forget that night. It took me way deeper and further than I have ever experienced with more than that. But it would not have been that if I had not already done serious work for a long time on more than that. It's like there's a training process, which is what Roger spoke about. And it's just the newness, or maybe even an expectation that this is going to be blissful, which sometimes it is. So I did see that Ladis was asked, had his hand up, but it goes in waves. That's the other thing. If you do hit a hard time, don't panic, because it's not going to last. Just ride the rapids and you'll come out into another experience. But I want to hear how it went with you, Judith. Well, are you journeying this coming soon?
The 4th of December, Saturday week. Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking forward to the Sunday morning after that. And I mean, you're going to have Margie with you. What better can you have?
I know. So that's a big advantage. Yeah. I'll let you know. Thank you for that.
And that's the important reminder. This is serious work. We're not taking a smaller recreational dose. And it's often in that recreational environment where difficult experiences or the so-called bad trip, it's when it's mixed with other substances, it's often alcohol and or other chemicals that are in the system in a recreational environment, where people have a fear element that comes in with these really tough times and the freaking out as is mentioned. And hence we're also recommending that when you're working with mushrooms for the first time, or if you're going to be on your own, to have someone with you. We really do stress that. And Alip, you've spoken about the panic attacks and things like that. Yes, there can be fear, but the Watchers and Monica as well has shared with you already that mushrooms will never present you with what you can't handle. But if you're concerned about that now already, the preparation and assistance of having someone with you for the experience is very important to help you create that safe space. Certainly if you are at home alone. And we include them in the preparations for the whole week. We allow an environment and prepare an environment where they can ask the same questions. And we're also available to them throughout the night, which in a way allows the person that's journeying to even disconnect further from the digital environment. And that feedback can happen in that way. So yes, difficult experiences are where you grow the most. The difficult experiences is where you have an opportunity to be presented with that part of you that needs the most work. We see these transformations from people by experience where they're actually doing the work of growing through what they've been shown to work on. Suzanka, you've been waiting a while and your connection broke up a little last time when we handed over to you. Please go ahead.
So my question is also about dosing, but I just need to give you a bit of a background. So although I'm very new to the mushroom thing, I wasn't expecting to be here with a journey with mushrooms, because I've always felt I'm a wilderness guide and we do a lot of spiritual work in wild places. So I'm very comfortable with communicating with animals and communicating with the plant kingdom. And I've always said to my students that, you know, if you're considering an ayahuasca or a San Pedro trip, which we get quite a lot of clients that do that, try and do it without that, because your brain can manufacture all these things on their own. Then the mushrooms started talking to me. So there seems to be some kind of a journey that I need to have with mushrooms. So Lola and I, she's a friend of mine that we do the work together. We went to the mountains last weekend and we had a very gentle, sort of like one would almost call it a micro dosing of little dried mushrooms, which she sourced. And it was a very gentle trip. But thank you, Monica, for mentioning that the mushrooms will not hurt you, because that is exactly what the mushrooms told me, because I had a little bit of an anxiety that it's about that surrender of losing control, etc. And the mushrooms just came back and said, no, this is all under control. And so I really relaxed. But it was a gentle yet profound experience, because there's a conversation that opened up with everything around me. Now, my question is, if one wants to go further than that, and stretch one's boundaries a little bit more, what is the recommended dose, and how does the dosing work in the first place? Is it something that that if you have an intention for the journey, then that is your dose is reliant on that? And then if you do the journey at home, how do you get the right dose to you, etc.? Does one go and fetch it with you guys and then in preparation for the journey, etc., etc.? So I just want to know a little bit of practical things. Thank you.
I'll answer some of the practical stuff regarding sourcing and things like that. Yes, we can assist you with that, and we do that all by email. So you can drop me a mail and we can assist via courier, or you can collect in Somerset West, etc. There are a variety of options. Regarding the specific dose itself, the recommended dose of 5 grams is is the dose that we recommend, especially everybody for as first timers to start off with, and the other watchers can step in and give some feedback from their cells here. 5 grams is not a dose that just got decided on day one. Monica has gone through 12 years of experience, and I think even in the beginning the dosage was smaller. And there was a time where people came to Journey and their dose became significantly higher. But there's an understanding that once you reach a certain dosage as well, there's no real benefit to that process, and there's other elements that come into play. Really high dose, and we're talking about really high doses that we're aware of. You go online, you'll find amazing man Kilindi having taken in the 70 grams, regularly taking 20, 30, 40 grams, which is a wonderful example of how mushrooms do no harm. But also an example of there is no necessarily a benefit to us in that, other than proving that we can take that quantity. So we would not recommend a first timer to take any more than 5 grams. And anyone that's experienced multiple times, and even in a physical environment, we wouldn't recommend or suggest that they take any more than 8 or 10 grams. They may want to explore that elsewhere. But from our experience, we're offering and creating a space and environment where you can have the best experience possible. And from our past experience, and Monica, you can correct me here, anything more than 10 grams is not offering you any deeper connection and teaching and growth than what you would get otherwise.
It's a waste of your money, and it's a waste of mushrooms.
The similar thing comes in, and strange enough, with microdosing. Microdosing is a microdose. It's not a small dose, because a small dose is a half a gram or 0.2 grams or 0.1 gram even. That's a small dose. It's not a microdose. A microdose is a dose that is completely imperceptible. And it's too small to put in a capsule even. It's a waste of a capsule. And once again, I love Monica, and always referring back to her, because overthinking things with a dosage chart, and Nikki, I'd love for you to share that. I've seen it before. It really is wonderful, because it does help and guide the way. But from our experience, getting too wrapped up in quantities and dosages and things like that, there's nothing wrong with taking a 0.1 gram or a 0.2 gram or a 0.3 gram microdose. Absolutely not. It's not doing any harm, but it is a waste. It's a waste of what a microdose is, a tip of a teaspoon. And likewise, taking 20 or 30 grams, there's no harm in it, other than you may have a deeper physical experience. But it's a waste of a good quantity of mushrooms. So quantity is very subjective. The recommended dose through experience, thousands of people, is 5 grams, and the actual move from there is a reduction rather than an increase. Often you would go to 6 or 7 grams just to gain an understanding that there is no advantage in going higher, and suddenly you discover you can go down to 4 or 3. But the important thing as well is not to start on 3, yeah, or not to start on 2, because then you're again in an environment where you're saying, well, I'm going to test the temperature of the pool. And it ties in with this sense of lack of surrender, because you're not actually surrendering to the process. The water is too cold in the pool, therefore I'm not going to jump in properly. And then what inevitably ends up happening, you end up falling off the diving board, trying to hang on, and you bump your head and you scratch yourself on the way down as you're kicking and screaming. And that becomes a really tough experience. And you know what? That's normally an experience that you needed to understand of letting go in our normal lives. And that is irrespective of weight. Nick and Debbie, the weight doesn't play a role. We do cover that as a standard response. Monica.
I want to say something about dosage that is an absolute fact. Every single mushroom, each individual mushroom, has a different amount of psilocybin in it. And there is no ways of knowing how much in each little mushroom. So anything we do with doses is trying to go back to the medical world where they've taken extracts and they've mixed up chemicals together and they've got it in one pill. So they know exactly how much you are taking of a particular medicine. You can't do that with mushrooms because the amount of psilocybin differs. So when you've got 5 grams of mushrooms, you've got a pretty good idea of it being the psilocybin being shed out, that there's enough psilocybin in there for a good journey. So the talking about doses and 1.1 and a capsule full is absolutely just pretending. It's playing games and trying to be like a doctor. And something in me really withdraws from that because it seems to not be true. And I want us to be working with absolute truth. And you're not getting more psilocybin or less, simply because you've got a volume of mushrooms that is different. And then I just want to reply to, was it Nikki who asked about the weight? Somebody asked about, does the weight of the person make a difference? I've tested that a lot over the years. It makes no difference at all. And that's another thing that comes from the medical world, that small people think they must have a smaller dose and big people think they need more. It doesn't work that way. I have seen very large people, tall, big men, have a huge experience on a small amount. And very small people having a very a good experience on, or not having enough experience because they've taken too little. It does not have to do with the size of your body.
Thank you, Monica. And Roger, in response to Suzanka, yes, there are various strains of psilocybin cubensis, and we use a mixture. We use a mixture that changes. And a reminder again, this is how we work. It's not going to apply to everybody in the way that they work with mushrooms. We're not saying that's wrong. We're just saying that's not the way that we do it, because we find we get in the way. We've learned from experience that we get in the way if we start over specifying the quantities, we start over specifying the mix of mushrooms, even for that matter. The Soma mixture is sourced from a strain of a variety of strains, and that changes. It's not a set recipe, because if we start setting a recipe, we're also starting to say, well, we can control. And it's not us. We're handing that over to the grower, who in a very magical way is providing the strains that they've been called in whichever way to grow, rather than us deciding. As soon as we start deciding, even with the best intentions, we're starting to block out the higher force. We're starting to prevent people who arrive in their own way to receive a message that they need to receive. It's not for me to decide how and where and when. It's for us to create a space from our best experience to allow people how we believe and to have the best possible experience for that. Nick and Debbie, you have another question.
Yeah, the question about, so if the two of us are journeying together with the online group, is that then fine for us both to be taking 5 grams?
Maybe I can answer that.
Yeah.
Look, Nick, I mean, the fact of the matter is that you and Debbie have journeyed before. So to some extent, you have got your wings. So I would be inclined to say that in that instance, journeying on 5 grams together and both taking it is definitely doable. If it's somebody that's going to do a journey for the first time, we would recommend that one of the partners acts as a watcher that evening.
Yeah. I think that was my second question. So I have a friend who has been asking me about journeying with me and has in my view, I think a lot of stuff could come up because there's all sorts of issues going on in his life. So then I think you've answered my question. Then I would be with him as a watcher. And but also I think in terms of how he would be screened, I'm assuming there would be all questions, a questionnaire and various things to ascertain where he's at.
You're assuming incorrectly, Nick.
Our door is open.
Our door is open, and you have the ability and whatever is needed to create a space and have someone to journey with you, more so than what I could even or ever prescribe or try to screen via a form. That's completely unnecessary. It's not protecting anybody. It's not creating any environments that's going to help anybody through their process. So if you've worked with mushrooms before, you understand the procedures, you understand the steps. Us as a group are here to assist you with that. If you're uncertain yourself, you can ask. The recommendation would even be from an experienced point of view to say, well, take a gram as well as a watcher. And that gram allows you to connect. I'm a little bit more reluctant to say that because I'm not sure how experienced you are working with mushrooms, but that is a starting point, knowing that's a way for the person that's with the journeyer can also connect to the environment. But bearing in mind, a gram is also not a small dose. And that's what we learn as watchers, is we're learning how to walk in both worlds at the same time. And the first couple of times we work as watchers with the 1 gram dosage, with the correct preparation of our body, without the interference of any other possible substances, correct diet preparation for ourselves as well, often is a very profound experience. And people get swept away as watchers. But we're there, it's equally as hard work in many instances to gain an understanding of how walking in those two worlds can work and can impact you. So yes, by all means, you can work with someone along with this group. This is one of the reasons these Soma at Homes are available. They're available to people who feel they're ready to create a space for someone who can do the work. The expectation that they may have a difficult experience is that expectation part again. Yes, people have tough things in their lives happening, and hence we want a companion with them so that they can have the safe space to let go completely. But part of that companion's role is to allow them to let go completely and receive whatever they need to receive without the interference. I feel like I'm running a monologue here at the moment. But I'd really love for you to talk about and ask more questions about that, Nick, because it really is a lovely space to step in as a watcher and to be able to work in that, in this way specifically, with anybody that comes to us asking for our help.
Yeah, Nick, what I wanted to say is, look, firstly, if you were to do that for your friend, we would also help you prepare yourself as a watcher for that evening. The other thing is that one of the first things one learns as a watcher is your job is really to do as little as possible. That friend of yours, or anybody for that matter, really doesn't need your help. He really just needs, all that's needed is himself and the spirit of the mushroom. And that's more than enough for him to actually. So as a watcher, one of the cardinal rules is we try not to intervene. It's up to that person to work through whatever needs to be worked through.
Yeah.
And that's generally good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Ladis, you had a question earlier on. Has that been answered, or do you still have the question?
Well, kind of. As a matter of fact, I was wondering, the impact, I mean, talking about the impact on your life, does it help you in your life? I mean, I sort of understood that actually it is a yes to my question, but I wanted someone maybe to elaborate a little bit on how it impacts these journeys with the mushroom, how it impacts your daily life. I mean, do you connect more, let's say, to the universe, the divine, how you can, I mean, does it help you to, does it enhance your connection to the spirit, to the divine, etc.? And how does it change or not your daily life? I mean, yes, how is, if it changed or if it's actually connects you more to people in general, I mean, your life, your interactions, etc., your social life, let's say.
Well, that's another nice question, Ladis. Is there any watcher that wants to answer that? We can all answer that.
Maybe let me have a go. The changes are subtle. They're not always huge changes, but you have forgotten, I think it's Rodianne, you said earlier on about how you start noticing the changes. And that's so... For me, it was noticing that I was much more confident in myself. I was happy to, you know, I was able to ask for help when I needed it from people. I was able to feel confident about expressing my opinions. I felt much less, I felt more connected with people. I felt I could see people as complex human beings rather than just being, you know, good or bad or black and white in all senses of the word in South Africa. Mm. So it's subtle changes. I became a much nicer driver. I was at a lot less road rage, for example. It's a subtle change that doesn't make a big dramatic change in your life, but you start noticing these small aspects that that you think, wow, that, you know, as Rodianne says, I feel so different to what I was a few months back or a year or so back. So it's about those kind of changes. Well, certainly for me and Rodianne clearly as well, it's those kind of changes.
Mark,
yes,
there have been many dramatic changes. Not all subtle, slow changes. Roger's nodding his head because he's one of them. Where there's and certainly for me, even after all this time, I can have a dramatic change in my thinking about something that was a big issue for me. And there's a complete turnaround come the morning. And that change remains. It doesn't just come and go away again. It stays. But those subtle ones that you speak about, I think are so precious because there are so many of them. It's like many little things that are changing, that change our whole world. And they come spontaneously by themselves. And you just happen to notice that something that was there isn't there anymore. Or something that wasn't there before now is there.
Ladis, please go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted, because Rodianne, actually, you said actually at the beginning that one of the reasons why, I mean, yeah, your path was more some sort of spiritual. So, and I'm wondering what did you get, I mean, sort of speak, from that experience so far?
So if I can answer that, you know, as Monica was speaking, I was like, oh, she's so right. You know, when I say there aren't these massive changes, it's what I mean to that is like your outside friends aren't going to go, oh, gosh, you always used to wear black and today you're just wearing white. Those kind of things, like Monica says, yes, they will happen. Like Roger will say that there are big changes, but what Monica said in the mind thinking process, I think she's quite right, because I've had many of those. And now that Monica said it, I was like, duh. It's not outwardly massive shifts in a way, but your thinking shifts so massively, but it's how you integrate and how you choose to now react to the world after that choice and after that understanding.
It's a change in attitudes.
Exactly. And those are sometimes small, but a clear decision, they have a slow over time compound effect on your life. You know, it's building on this thing all the time, because let's say, like Margie touched on this, I'm not going to have road rage anymore. And guess what? Now, oh, that's not a choice. I notice I don't have road rage anymore. And that has now filtered into my life of, oh, look, I see someone who's taking a little bit of strain and they're hanging onto their trolley in the shop, the supermarket. And gosh, let me just hang back with my trolley so they can take their time and use the trolley as their little Zimmer frame through the shopping market. You know, it's those little shifts that they've built up on you. And the next thing you know, you're actually quite a nice person. If you know, and it's and that's why, and it comes from lots of those moments, like Monica's saying, and she's quite right with these. I was thinking, what has shifted for me? You know, I don't have children, and it's been a huge thing for me, because I've decided that I'm too old to have kids now, and it's been a very difficult thing for me. And Soma has touched on that for me over and over again, and it's not something I could go out and change. You know, sure, I can adopt children, but I have learned that life has brought me many children. I have many children who I love deeply, like they are my own, who love me in return. And so has assisted me in understanding and nurturing those, as opposed to crying for the lack of not having that for myself. And these are, and don't let me tell you, that journey is not over for me, because I thought I dealt with that years ago, and it came up just 2 Soma ceremonies ago for me. It came up again, so, but in a different way. So it was almost as though, like, and this is very personal, obviously I'm sharing an extremely personal thing here, so you can all understand the way in which it works with you. It was very difficult. I was gasping for air, because I couldn't believe what I'd been shown, because when you take Soma seriously, it's going to, I'm not going to say shake you, but say like, hey, hi, look at this, you know, I'm showing you something to pay attention to. And it's, again, that's not a something that I can go out in the world and it's going to make a huge difference to everybody, because I've now made peace with myself. But making peace in myself is going to make a difference in the world, actually, at the end of the day. You know, it's that story of working in your own backyard, which is going to change the world. So I don't know if that, in a way, that's why I always say it's not this flip, because for me personally, it hasn't been a flip. I haven't just dropped something one night, but mentally, yes, Monica's quite right, I have. So I'm now going to have to choose a very different way of explaining things, because now there's a new understanding for me personally too. So thank you for your question.
I've got
2 things to, sorry, can I talk, or is someone else going to talk?
Go ahead, Monica.
Another thing that I have found over the years that's helped me a lot, I do quite a lot of reading and studying. There's a particular subject that I study all the time because it's part of my work, and it's quite complicated because it brings a lot of things together, different points and together. And I find that when I've worked with mushrooms, often those different points that I've got in my head that I'm trying to make the connection so that I benefit from what I'm studying, suddenly all fall into place like a jigsaw puzzle, as though my brain is just able to take that information and do something with it. You know, my brain is quite old now, so it battles like it didn't used to battle, and I find it a great help with that. And the other thing I wanted to also say about what happens is that these insights and changes from one journey go on and on and on for a long time. They don't just, it's not just the next day and then it's all over. What we're most interested in really is how are you a month of later, because that's where the work continues, that the changes, the thinking, it sets in motion things that go on in our bodies. Someone earlier asked about bodies, what happens to our bodies. It affects our bodies as well, the workings of our bodies.
Now that reminder with change, and so many of the watchers will be able to attest to the change in people are seen by other people. You don't necessarily see the change in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
it's friends and family that will comment and say, and that's how so many people arrive at these events is wow, I saw my brother, I saw my dad, I saw my friend. He's just changed completely over a period of 3 or 6 months. He stopped drinking. He's looking so much better. And it's one of the reasons I believe why mushrooms is exploding to the extent that it is. It's not a pharmaceutical organization or anybody saying this will help you. It's men and women and people like you and me and all the watchers that are here that have made positive changes in their life as a result of working with mushrooms, and people can see those changes. They're not being told only of those changes. That comes from personal experience. So it's the changes that are going to happen and be seen by those around you. Definitely the positive stuff, those micro changes, and even the big ones, which makes you make choices in your life and give you the ability to make choices that have a benefit not only to you, but that connectedness to everything around you. So there's some really wonderful information there. Roger, you've answered some of the questions regarding antidepressants and medications. We're always stressing that medications do that along with your medical practitioner and along with their support and advice, which sometimes is difficult to get their support. They're in a difficult position themselves. So from an antidepressants point of view, we're recommending a day or two beforehand to stop your medication. The purpose of an antidepressant is to suppress your emotions and feelings. That's its role. If you cannot be off your meds for long periods or at all, then without the support of your medical advisor, don't. But do your best. And if that is only on the day, that's also okay. And as far as other medications are concerned, if you can be off for a day, help your body be clean of anything, of anything chemical, just from a purification point of view, so that there is no interference. Give yourself the best possible experience. But if you have to take the medication, or even in your heart feel like you can't without it, by all means continue. You will receive the work of the mushrooms as you need to.
That last point that Anton made is important. It was the antidepressants particularly could suppress your conscious experience of what is happening on mushrooms, but that doesn't mean that the actual work or changes in you are not happening. It just means it's gone below the radar and you're not so aware of it. I saw someone ask that question. I think it was Nick or Debbie maybe.
Excellent. Are there any other thoughts or questions on that topic or anything else at this stage? Lettuce, have we answered your idea of the changes and the realms and the thoughts?
Yes, yeah, so, sort of, yes, definitely. But now, Monica, if it helps, if it clears the mind, and if you have actually answered to your question, why not actually taking some every other day or, I mean, every weekend? Some people take CBDs or even smoke marijuana. What about actually having some mushroom every weekend? Why not? It doesn't harm, right, you say?
I'm not quite, why did you ask a question again? I didn't quite understand.
No, because you said actually it'll help sometimes if actually you have a questions popping into your mind and you have something that clutters your mind, you may find some answers while actually having this journey with mushroom. So I'm just saying for myself, I'm just kidding a little bit, but I'm teasing a little bit. But I mean, it's actually my question underneath is actually, can we take mushroom as much as we want to? Can we do it on a very regular basis, like every weekend
you
or something like that?
That's not how it works. You don't need to do that.
I see.
The microdosing, if you have a severe depression problem or you can't sleep, or you have that kind of ongoing thing, you can use that minute microdose that we mentioned before daily until the problem goes away, which is often just in a few days. but you don't need to take until you feel like you want to. There's no point. It's an absolute waste. Then you actually, if you like, people will smoke marijuana every day just because they want to have that feeling. I think I don't smoke marijuana, but I think it's because they get a feeling. And that's why you would want it every day. Mushrooms aren't like that. They're not addictive. They have something to teach you. And they once, especially once you've experienced them once, that spirit somehow stays with you. And it will speak to you and call you and say, I want to meet with you again. And then you respond to that. And it might be months apart or maybe the very next week. It depends on where you are and how much you're tuning in or able to tune in and hear that voice. That is good. I invite you to come every time and ask questions. I really like your questions.
Sorry, I was feeling that was actually disturbing the group with all my stupid questions.
They're very thoughtful questions. And you make us think, you stretch us as well.
Let us whereabouts are you located?
I'm actually in Durban, and I'm a foreigner just arriving in your beautiful country. It's been 3 months now that I've been actually living in South Africa. So it's everything is kind of brand new for me.
Where are you from?
I'm from Paris. I'm from France.
Oh, okay. I've got the accent.
Right.
I want to add as a reminder, which would come up if you do join one of our events regarding mixing with other substances, and it applies less so from a recreational point of view. Monica's answered so beautifully about mushrooms is not a thing that you just keep taking just for the sake of keeping taking. It doesn't work that way. But when we're working with mushrooms in a serious way and with a large quantity, we do talk about preparing your body and not mixing other substances. And that includes something like cannabis, which we found not to work together in a ceremonial environment, specifically smoked cannabis. So in preparation for a journey, at least 24 or 48 hours before we say stop smoking cannabis, and do that again a day later. The two do not combine in that environment. And that comes specifically from experience. And I think it's two different kingdoms, two different environments that have such an important contribution to make, but not at the same time. We need to allow, with the serious work that we're doing, we need to allow the platform for mushrooms to speak in full with its loudest voice. And when we work with cannabis, to do the same, treat each with respect that they each deserve. But you'll find it in the notes that we send out in the preparations a day or two before. Try and stop smoking cannabis until a day or so after. That makes the experience a lot smoother. The difficult experiences we've had is when that doesn't happen. And I am referring again, I'm stressing, with smoked cannabis, where it's not necessarily been used in a medicinal kind of way. We have negative experiences with that.
Bianca had her hand up just now.
Yeah, the one thing that with regards to taking it like every week or twice a week or every day, or what I find is when we have these big shifts, when we take the higher doses, you actually looking forward to giving your body and your mind the time to integrate. You need that integration time. And sometimes it's okay to do a higher dose in a shorter space of time. But sometimes it can take 6, 7, 8 months for the integration to happen. So Can you do it? Yes, you can. But you actually don't want to because you're still processing the past journey. So that's, I find that, yeah, that's a contributor why we don't do it every Saturday. Okay.
Thank you, Bianca. Margie's answered your question, Judith, about registering on the Somaliland website. And you will find there all the upcoming events. And you'll also find some frequently asked questions that we've answered here to read up about, some as well as links that we share for that event and that experience. You know, one of the amazing things that happened with lockdown and how these Some at Home events evolved is giving everybody around the world as much information as we can that they can use in whatever way they want to. There's an opportunity from experience in how to prepare the sacrament. It's all there. There's the playlists that Monica has prepared over time. It's all there. And if people want to use that in their own way, they're welcome to. It's information that's shared. And if you want to sign up for our events, it allows you this group experience and this group connection, which you cannot describe it until you've experienced it. I think it's one of the reasons why it's so difficult to explain a group Soma event, these connections that are impossible to explain. Lattice, one of your points triggered the thought process of this expansion of consciousness that we have, or this thought process that expands, that includes the signs and symbols we see around us on a daily basis, these synchronicities that start happening. These things that we see and we wonder, well, were they always there? Or did we just miss them before, or have they started arriving? These coincidences that explain our path or help us make sense of our path and make sense of our journey. That very much happens with working with Soma. And so somaland.org is the place to go for more info and our next meetings and our next events and or to reach out and stay connected with us.
I see somebody asking about when there'll be another physical journey. It disappeared again, but about, I presume, here in Somerset West. It did come up earlier on. We're hoping maybe to start in December, otherwise January. We're watching very carefully with what happens with COVID. And if it really seems that the infections have dropped and we don't go into this fourth thingy that we could go into, then we'll go ahead and have physical journeys again. But we have avoided that completely during lockdown.
Thank you. Our dogs are barking, so Rodian's quickly going to go and deal with that. The physical retreats are certain to happen. Somebody also asked about retreats in Pretoria and around the country and things like that. We've traveled in the past. We've traveled to Midrand. We've hosted outdoors events. They're sure to happen again in the future. And as they start up in the future, these at-home events are not going to then fall away. I expect they will continue as long as we're asked to. Typically, we're having connections and people joining us from all over the world. But it's not possible always to join a physical group. And sometimes it's necessary to move forward and taking that step, and hence the strong recommendation to have someone with you, a friend, a family member, and step down this path. And once the door opens again for physical retreats and physical experiences, the unfortunate thing is not everybody can arrive at the same time. It's one of those processes. So we're going to continue. We're going to continue with both events and take it as it is. Claire, you asked about finding the person that can be with you at home. That can be anybody you trust. More than anything else, trust is the important thing. It can be a friend, it can be a family member, someone that you know can look after you in your physical space that you can let go. They're not a guide. They're not telling you what to do. Lattice, I see you responded, putting your hand up in response to that.
Yeah, I mean, I was just wondering, sorry to interrupt again, something that we haven't covered, how long does a journey last? How long does it last? You take your 5 grams, how long? And are you going to be, because we're going to have a family member with us, I mean, at home, or are we entering some sort of trance or is it peaceful, or I mean, is it ecstatic? I mean, I have no idea. How do we look like when you get the mushrooms? I mean, is it? Yeah, those are these two questions actually.
Anton, maybe I could have a crack at this.
Thank you, Roger.
Landers, firstly, it's very much an inward process. You journey into your own consciousness. There's very little outward manifestation of whatever you might be experiencing. So that's the first thing. The time period, the main part of the journey can last 3.5 to 4 hours. And after that, you normally want to get up, go to the toilet, maybe have something to eat, because you've fasted at least that day in preparation for the evening. It's quite nice to go outside at that point and to see the stars, because it gives you a different perspective of the stars and your place in the universe. And then after that, you've worked hard the whole night. So once you've been up, been to the toilet, had something to eat, been outside, you generally are tired and sleep after that. And that's also all part of the process. Those files in your consciousness are being reshuffled as you sleep. And then, as I said, in the morning we meet and we like to, for the journeyers to tell us about their experience.
Right. Okay, cool. Thank you, Roger. Okay, sounds clear. Sounds clear now. I was just basically wondering if people around us will be afraid because they will see us shaking or whatever. I mean, you know, just something like that. I didn't know. Okay.
I see Roger shaking his head, but I'm always going to say yes, because most answers to most questions is yes, in the sense that anything is possible, anything can happen. Yes, people can shake. Yes, people can dance. Yes, people can run around the room. The answer is normally yes, because anything is possible. That's why there's no set answer, and that's why we're available throughout the night for anything that possibly happens. And our experience that we've gained through watching in a physical environment and online is experience-based. Nothing that we've ever read in a book or answered or received as an answer in a meeting could ever have prepared us for the unexpected that could happen. We were talking about this earlier today, knowing that, well, we're prepared for anything, and that's why we would prepare a space and encourage anybody to go ahead and experience this, because we do know that this team of watchers and anybody that would be with you is able to deal with anything that does come their way, and any way that you do respond, including shaking or feeling rewired, et cetera, et cetera. So it's simply for us to say, sorry, Roger, for correcting, to say, no, it's not going to happen. Yes, it may. That's the straight up answer. But to have somebody that's connected with us and saying, well, Lattice is shaking. What must I do? And the answer would be, well, you know, do you need to do anything? Because he's okay. He's being rewired. He's going through a process. He's breathing properly. He's with you. Is he harming anybody around him? No. Is he harming himself? No. Well, he's going to be okay. Do not interfere. Make sure he's comfortable. A blanket and a pillow would be useful. And let that person enjoy, continue their process, because that's what it's about. It's their process. And often when there is... Sorry, Monica, go ahead.
Do you know what does happen a lot? Is crying. There's a lot of crying going on, a lot of tears. That's why we have plenty of toilet rolls around and tissues and things, because of the crying that happens.
Wow. All right.
Okay. Bianca.
Yeah, I also see there's quite a few of you that will prefer not to journey at home the first time. I think there is a big pro in actually doing a journey at home, especially if you have a friend or a loved one that's watching over you. let's take the crying, for example. There's a lot of emotions that are coming up. If you're in an environment where there's 20 or 30 of you in a room or in a space, we have this natural instinct of not letting someone go because we want to be considerate towards the others. That's just how we operate. So when you're at home and you're by yourself, it is okay to let those emotions out. It is okay to get up and dance. It is okay to scream. It is okay to move around. It is okay. You somehow have so much more freedom when you do it in your own space. So I think as much as it might be more scary to say, I do it at home the first time, I prefer to be in an environment with other people. If you have somebody that can look over you, I think it's actually a really wonderful experience to be able to do it in your own space and prepare it to make you feel comfortable and set it up to make it special for yourself, to be able to let the experience take you where it needs to take you and to express it the way you need to express it. So I don't think that should be something that you should be afraid of. I think actually it should be something that you should be able to look forward to. So, yeah.
Thank you, Bianca. Nikki, you still have your hand up.
Yes, I just wanted to ask, because you recommend having someone with you that you trust. I have trust issues, so I'm wondering if you have someone with you that you know, they're a friend, but won't be particularly, willing to be vulnerable in front of them. Would there be a possibility that prevent me from experiencing what the mushrooms want me to experience if I feel that I have to hold back? Isn't it then rather better just to be by myself?
And do that too.
I agree with Monica. Yeah. You can do that as well. Nikki, I've watched through lockdown. I should stop doing this, because it's always my admiration towards specifically women that through lockdown have had the courage to journey alone, more so than men, and the men as well who have fear, don't get me wrong, because it does take courage to do serious work. And the courage part is less to do with experiencing mushrooms than to do with confronting the parts in yourself that you need to do work on. And it seems as a very generalization, and I look forward to being proven wrong over the months and years to follow, that women are really prepared to do the work. And if that means working on your own, I've watched these transformations, it's quite incredible. So working on your own is incredibly empowering, giving you the ability and understanding that you can take your life in your own hands. So if you feel called to journey on your own, by all means, we're not going to prevent you from doing that. We're always going to recommend someone's with you, but we're going to stress and do the best that we can to ensure you're prepared as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How are we doing for covering everybody's thoughts and questions and comments that come to mind? Is there anything else? Okay, so that's us, really. These meetings have become a monthly part of what we offer in sharing information. It's a monthly part of the process as well, of people who journeying a week and a half or so later. The next date is the 4th of December. Sharing information for that event is part of that. I see Tulia's asked another question. And it's also a check-in sometimes for people who have journeyed with us the month before. It's a way for us to allow people to connect in and see how others are doing that are arriving and are in the same position as what they were when they first joined as a first timer. Just to clarify for Tulia about surroundings, would any of our watchers like to try and describe in words that I struggle to find? Roger, I see you're ready for it.
Yeah, so I actually pushed my button by mistake. But yeah, no, look, Trilly, you are aware of your surroundings. And one of the things that I suggest is that before you start your journey, you have something in your space that you can anchor to. But make no mistake, you are aware of where you are, and you are aware of your surroundings. Make no mistake.
Thank you, Roger. I hope, Tuli, that answers your question. That anchor point is similar to when we're in a physical group. There's a point in the room which we call an anchor seat, where there's always somebody present sitting. That it's not announced to the room beforehand so much that's the anchor seat and that there will always be there. But it's a simple static movement that yes, there will always be present in that physical space. And the same applies to in your own home. So knowing that something there is that you can hold on to, something solid that won't change, that when you feel like there is a lack of reality in that feeling that you're uncertain about, that you can reach out and know that it is there, that yes, what you are experiencing may be psychedelic and all of that, but that there is something unchangeable in the environment that's there for you. Nick? Go ahead.
I just wanted to thank all of you for your, not just your time, but your commitment and love. It's very palpable and greatly appreciated.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Nick. We'd very much like to have you here at one of our next events. And at worst, even at the next meeting, if you don't join us for the event itself, and you do go ahead helping and working with your friend, let us know how it went. Feedback from experience is so much more valuable than anything that we can share, because there's always something there for somebody else. So please don't feel held back from that at all. In anywhere, our door is open for everybody.
If I can just say that watching over somebody can be such a profound and wonderful and heart-opening experience. To me, it actually takes journeying to another level.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mommy.
Your questions.
Thank you all. I'm going to send you a link to the recording, and we look forward to connecting with you in any other way. So lots and lots of love. Thank you for everybody. Meeting you. Bye.
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 Thank you so much.
Bye.